This is the sermon preached by Reverend Rich Clarkson at St Mary's Enville and St Peter's Kimber on Sunday, the 20th of April 2025, Easter Sunday. Reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, so they went in. But they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there puzzled about this, when suddenly two men in bright shining clothes stood by them. Full of fear, the women bowed down to the ground as the men said to them, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life." Then the women remembered his words, returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11 disciples and all the rest. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. They and the other women with them told these things to the apostles. But the apostles thought that what the women said was nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent down and saw the grave clothes, but nothing else. Then he went back home, amazed at what had happened. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I wonder if you have ever heard of an axolotl. Axolotls are amazing creatures. They're very popular in the schools at the moment. But they're fabulous creatures for all sorts of reasons. They're native to a single lake in Mexico, which is right within Mexico City, one of the largest urban areas in the world. And so in the wild, they're under all sorts of pressures and are very nearly extinct. But axolotls have some really fascinating things that they can do. They begin their lives as purely aquatic creatures. But they can go through a sort of metamorphosis to become land animals. This was first discovered in 1863 when 6 aquatic axolotls were shipped from Mexico to Paris. And the zoologist who sent them and received them was very confused when he opened their vivarium at the end of the journey to find what seemed like a completely different creature. Now, I say this was discovered in 1863. It was discovered by humans then. Obviously, the axolotls knew they could do this a long time before. The other thing that axolotls can do, which is pretty amazing, is that when they get injured, they can regenerate. Now, it's not quite a Doctor Who-style regeneration with swirling lights and a new accent, but it's pretty impressive all the same. When they get injured, instead of scarring like most creatures, humans included, they simply grow back what was lost. This can include entire limbs in just a few months, or parts of the nervous system, the eye, the heart. They can even restore parts of their brain. They are truly incredible creatures. But in the animal world, there are lots of amazing creatures that can do remarkable things. There's the immortal jellyfish, which when it reaches the end of its natural life, instead of dying, simply reverts back to being a polyp. And then it begins its life all over again, rendering it what's known as biologically immortal, as long as it doesn't get eaten by a turtle in the meantime, of course. Or what about the Greenland shark, which lives in freezing cold waters up to a mile below the ocean's surface and grows so slowly that it can live for over 500 years? Or the Canadian wood frog, which gets through the long, cold winter by literally freezing itself solid for up to 8 months of the year, only defrosting itself when the weather warms up enough for it to survive again. There are so many amazing creatures like these, which have found weird and wonderful ways to try and beat death. And I haven't even started on trees or plants or fungi or lichen or bacteria, all of which have their own ways of surviving. But none of them compare with the story that we are here to celebrate today. Because the story of Jesus is even more remarkable than the story of the axolotl, or the immortal jellyfish, or the Greenland shark, or the Canadian wood frog. The story of Jesus is not one of avoiding death through some clever biological trickery. It's one of facing death head on and defeating it. Because the resurrection of Jesus was not like a tree frog emerging from a long cold winter's hibernation, or an axolotl healing its own wounds. Jesus' death and resurrection was something completely different altogether, which is why it is the event on which the whole of human history turns. As an aside, I got into trouble last week when we were doing school Easter assemblies because I told the children that Easter was more important than Christmas. They weren't too impressed with that. But Easter is the most important moment in the whole of human history, because it's the point at which our relationship with God, with each other, with ourselves, with the world around us, with life itself, is forever changed. And it's changed by one thing. Love. God loves you. That's what the Easter story is really all about. God loves you. And that's what the story of the Bible, the whole human story, is all about. And it goes something like this. God made the world and loved it. It was full of colour and life and beauty and weird and wonderful creatures like axolotls and immortal jellyfish and Greenland sharks and Canadian tree frogs. And then, after a few billion years of evolution, one of these creatures caught God's eye. "Ooh, I like that one," thought God. "They remind me of myself." This creature could tell stories and create art and remember their history and was always trying to learn and grow. And they could also, when they were in the right kind of mood, listen to God. So God asks them to help look after the world, with its axolotls and immortal jellyfish and Greenland sharks and Canadian tree frogs. And they did try. Sometimes they did a really good job, but sometimes they got so caught up in their own arguments and ideas that they forgot they were supposed to be helping God. Sometimes they even got cross with God. "Why are you making us help you?" they would say. "We don't need you, we're fine by ourselves." And so they'd carry on doing their own thing. And then things would go wrong and they'd get cross with God again. "Why didn't you help us?" they'd say. "Why did you let us try and do it all by ourselves?" So God found some of those creatures who were particularly good at listening and gave them messages to help the people. But of course they mostly ignored them, and the creatures drifted further and further away from God. But God still loved them. And so desperate times called for desperate measures. And God decided to become one of these creatures, to see if they would listen then. And some of them did. Quite a lot of them did for a little while. But lots of them didn't want to hear what God had to say. And so they took all the bad things they'd learned how to do and they threw them all at God. They used words and weapons and they hurt God. But God still loved them. And then they did what for them seemed like the worst thing they could possibly do. They killed God. They nailed God to a cross and they watched him die. That ought to be the end of it, they thought. But God still loved them. And that love was powerful. So powerful, in fact, that even killing God couldn't stop God's love. That love which had woven the stars into the night sky, which had formed the planet on which they live, that love which had filled it with weird and wonderful creatures like axolotls and immortal jellyfish and Greenland sharks and Canadian tree frogs. That love wasn't going to let something like death get in the way. And so the love which had breathed life into the universe in the first place breathed life back into Jesus. But this wasn't like the old kind of life, with all its fragility. This was a new kind of life altogether, a life that was woven with love. And then Jesus breathed that same life into his friends, a life woven with love. And he sent them out into the world once more, this time, not just to look after it like before, but to love it. To love the axolotls and the immortal jellyfish and the Greenland sharks and the Canadian tree frogs, and to love the human beings. The human beings who now had the chance to breathe in that new life. That life that is woven with love, the love of God which is stronger even than death. The love that can withstand all the words and weapons of the world. The love that reaches out across divides. The love that speaks words of hope and joy and peace. The love of a God who sees you as you are and knows you as you are and loves you for it. And from that day onwards, the world was never the same again. Because now it is filled with people whose lives are woven with God's love. And who do not need to fear the words or the weapons of the world. Who do not even need to fear death, because they know, we know, that the love of God is more powerful, more beautiful, more wonderful than any of the bad stuff in the world. And so we rejoice today on this Easter Sunday with the axolotls and immortal jellyfish and Greenland sharks and Canadian tree frogs, because death has been defeated and Jesus is alive. Amen.